Hello, Rob.
Hey, Ben.
Hello, Rob and Kendall. Hello, my off the track friend.
Okay, guys. Give me 1 second. And on that note, I want to welcome everybody to the world according to that man, Benjamin Jeremy Stein. I want to welcome everybody in the YouTube chat. I want to thank everybody that's been downloading the show. It's greatly appreciated. It's really greatly appreciated. I want to remind everybody to get our emails and our latest stuff. Ben Stein.
Do I have to wear a mask to do this show?
.com. And of course,
I have to wear a mask.
And of course, I want to remind, I'm just going to ignore you. I also want to remind people we are on Parler and we are on Getter. It's great, Ben. Great for the audio. Good job. I told you, if you're going to put on a mask, you got to take off your clothing.
I was the one who suggested that.
Well, we're finally tonight. We're waiting to see you naked. Okay. But we are joined
by a man who is by no
means simple or a simple man. But he did start the website, simplelifenow.com. Founder, Gary Collins. Welcome back, as always, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. And of course, the president, the future of conservative talk radio from 93.1, BAM, WIBC, Robert Kendall.
We need some offense in this NBA Finals. Some offense. We're nowhere close to 222 and a half.
You're the only person watching, by the way. The ratings are so bad. And of course, the show would not exist. Would not exist without America's humble servant, actor, writer, provocateur, saint, sinner, lover, father, grandfather, mathematician, statistician, mathematician, but of course, most importantly, Dr. Benjamin Jeremy Stein.
Surgeon.
Surgeon. I don't know.
Just say surgeon.
You mean you're surging?
No, I mean that I alone in the whole world have uncoupled conjoined triplets.
I thought it was zebras.
But my bare hands.
It's an amazing, good job. And you look great for having just done it again for the third time. But I want to get this started tonight. Quick, there was a great show on in the early to mid 2000s called Eureka. It was a fantastic show. If people haven't seen it or watched it, it's on Amazon Prime. You can watch it for free if you have Amazon Prime.
Jeff, can you open this, please?
Thank you for interrupting me as I'm about to tell a story. But the premise of the show is essentially after World War II, Einstein convinced Harry Truman to set up a town for just scientists so they could invent, they could create. And oddly enough, as I was thinking about this, it's sort of, I don't know if they took the idea or they based it on the idea of sort of like we're a town or a place where all brilliant minds could be at peace. And I couldn't help but think to myself, that being Israel and Harry Truman allowing this, granting or recognizing Israel in those fateful days. And a town of where just people wanted to be left alone, to build on nothing, to prosper, and to come up with just to live a great life, Ben Stein. And ever since, they have been under attack. They have been at war since 1948. It's been pretty much nonstop. It's been pretty much constant. It all in out war. Never being left alone. And the reason I bring this up tonight is because Ben and Jerry's, the company that owns them, Unilever.
You know, when we talked about this afternoon, you did not tell me.
I didn't know that until my mother told me. So Unilever, who makes Hellmann's and tons of soaps and a bunch of different products, has decided that in two areas of Judea and Samaria, they will not be selling Ben and Jerry's ice cream. It's part of the BDS, the boycott, divest, and sanction movement, Ben Stein. And we discussed this on the phone, and I'll let you speak.
Well, this gets worse and worse, Judah, because Unilever was originally Lever Brothers, and the Lever Brothers were Jewish. So this company, this gigantic consumer conglomerate, Unilever was founded by Jews. And my father was actually friends with them and worked with them. So it wasn't that long ago that they were right there on the scene calling the shots. So, but it's horrifying. And it's an example of something that you and I talk about to our sorrow quite often, which is the self-hatred of Jews. And this is really a terrible situation. I don't know what excuse a Jewish, long-time Jewish run, but probably not Jewish run anymore, company can have for this kind of slap in the face of Israel. I just pass on this to you, which I think I've mentioned on our show before, which is that when in the fights between the various Muslim and Arab factions, when someone is seriously wounded, the combatants bring him to an Israeli border post because they know he, although a terrorist and a killer of Jews, will get better medical treatment there than he would in any Arab medical center. And yet, and this is Israel. And Israel is the only country in the Middle East that has substantial numbers of Muslims in its legislature. Very large, substantial numbers.
Especially now.
So it's just, it's a heart, as my wife would say, a heart-rendering situation. And a very difficult and painful commentary on Jews' self-loathing.
See, well said. And Rob, I want to go to you because you seem to be a fan of the Chunky Monkey or the Cherry Garcia. But I just find it amazing that this little place, people just can't leave it alone.
Well, it's a little place filled with Jews.
Yeah, a little place filled with Jews.
And people, a lot of people don't like Jews. And the Arabs had that land, a lot of it, not all of it, but a lot of it, before Israel became a state. And they did nothing but make piles of donkey turds there. And Israel came along and made it to one of the most modern, powerful industrial countries in the world. Of course they hate it. That there's such a thing as envy and jealousy. I have a friend who's undoubtedly watching the show, a tall, staggeringly beautiful young woman, not as beautiful as my wife, because no one is, but as tall, staggeringly beautiful young woman, and she wonders why all the other women around her are mean to her. Well, it's dummy, I mean, because they're jealous of you, because you're so beautiful. Dummy, that's why all these other countries are jealous of you, because you do so much and accomplish so much.
So Rob, you know, there comes a point, you know, where you have, you know, you live in a state where people were going to ban people with the trans stuff, where people sort of have to take a stand against these crazy, leftist BDS, because it's almost like you wake up every day and they come up with another just out of the world, insane idea. Let's go with ice cream for today.
Well, first of all, I get the great value ice cream from Walmart because I do not make the salary of a Ben Stein. So
I don't have any salary at all right now. I live entirely off dividends.
It is fascinating, the obsession with the country that has been the beacon of so much good, that is the one hope of liberty and freedom in the Middle East. And I think what's most concerning is the way so many people in our country, which share so many values with Israel, or at least should, or at least on paper does, the total hatred. It's not just a lack of respect. It's a complete and utter hatred that they have for Israel, when Israel is really not just our best friend, but our only hope as it pertains to not at that entire region not being a bunch of people that want to annihilate us in many facets.
God bless you, Robert Kendall. God bless you.
Yeah, and Gary, it begs the question, what the hell?
What do you mean? What's that?
I can't. You know, I get it. You're explaining it with envy or jealousy or all these different things, and obviously this has been going on for many a century. But Gary, it's you as a person that served this country, you as a person that watches what's going on, it's like you wake up and you say, well, what's next?
Well, next it's going to be just let them eat cake, right? It's insane. I mean, it's petty. It's really petty. And first of all, Ben and Jerry's everything but the kitchen sink, ridiculously good. But, you know, it's one of those things where what goes through your head where you go, oh, we're just not going to sell ice cream to those people. I mean, just trying to have my mind put that together as punishment, it's ridiculous. And the fact that
that is brilliant, Gary. That's great.
Well, I mean, you have to see where these people are coming from.
I know. No, the way he just broke it down.
I don't like you, so I'm taking away your ice cream and run off and scream and cry. It's bizarre.
No, the way you just broke that down, it's like it's the most arbitrary and capricious thing. Hey, they woke up Unilever this morning. They said, no Ben and Jerry for you Jews in Judea and Samaria, Ben Stein.
Well, I think Gary's point is we're depriving them of a super incredibly expensive ultra luxury good. And so that's punishment. And in today's world, that's punishment. Unfortunately, that's not punishment. Unfortunately, under Hamas and the PLO and other Arab terrorist organizations, you get a bonus if you murder babies. You get a bonus if you murder women and old people, and you get streets and statues named after you. So that's the real problem. The ice cream is just nonsense. It's probably dreamed up by people who just have their heads so far up their ass. They'll never see daylight again.
But here's my thing. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Real quick. No, here's one thing how bad big corporatism is today, though. Maybe we should look what their sales were doing before, because some of these dirty companies will do it for cheap, free PR. I kid you not. They'll do it. They'll go, well, what do you think? We're going to just think what everyone's talking about today.
On campus.
From a business perspective, and Ben, you're the economist here, you can speak to this. Is it financially beneficial to alienate a huge portion of your customer base? Do you get that much good? Do you get that many sales out of free PR if you alienate a huge portion of your consumer base?
I don't think it is a huge portion of your consumer base, but I don't think it's certainly not an economically beneficial move. It's an economically stupid move, but they do it to express certain mental illness, and the mental illness is self-hatred and the desire to suck up to murderers of their own kind. And that is the sad story of that.
So let me ask you a question, because you've brought this up, fiduciary duty to your shareholders, Ben Stein. You obviously, because you invest in the Dow.
I invest in lots of things, but that's one of them.
Right, but that's one of them. You obviously are a shareholder in some sort of way with Unilever. Can't you sue Unilever?
I probably could, but I certainly cannot afford to. It's extremely expensive to sue Unilever, sue any of these big companies, and you have to be a terribly rich person to do it. And I am very, very far from being a terribly rich person, very, very far from it. But I have to say, these people are, in a sense, their own worst enemies, because people as stupid as this and as mean-spirited as this must be extremely unhappy people. And I would say just let them go about their lives. They're going to wind up in extremely miserable shape. People this miserable will wind up miserable.
But it begs the question, going back to you, Gary, what was it about these two, this product from a company that is so massive, they chose the ice cream part of the company?
Wasn't Ben and Jerry, weren't they Jewish?
Yeah, they are Jewish.
Of course
yes.
They are Jewish.
Yeah,
and the Lever brothers are Jewish. Sorry, Unilever are Jewish. It's just crazy.
Guys, you're just lucky I have this tissue and skull holding my brain in place right now, because my head just might explode on this one. I don't even know what to say. It's ridiculous.
If you were to walk around the campus of any one of America's major universities nowadays, or even minor universities, you would see so many signs expressing solidarity with Arab terrorists and with the BDS movement. You would be stunned. And I think the real goal here is to curry favor with college students who are eating way too much of everything these days, as far as I can tell, as I look at them and see their big butts. But anyway, I will just tell you something else. right down the street from me, there is a company called Salt and Straw Ice Cream, which is incomparably better than Ben and Jerry's, a million times better. And I recommend that for those of you who are close to a Salt and Straw, just give it a try. It's fine.
Okay. And on that note, if you just tuned in, you are listening to The World According to That Man, Benjamin Jeremy Stein. I want to thank everybody in the chat. And of course, this has been going on for over 2,000 years, but I'm specifically referring to tonight since Israel's existence. I want to thank everybody that's been downloading the show. I want to remind everybody to go get Gary's show, simplelifenow.com. You could also find Rob every day, Mock and Rob, 9 to noon, WIBC. I highly recommend you you check it out. Yes,
programming
Rob.
Programming note, Judah. Tomorrow we are going to have Brandy Love on the Mock and Rob show.
I don't know who that is.
That's the porn star that was treated terribly by Turning Point USA, kicked out of their convention.
Oh, there.
His name is really Randy Love.
No, her name.
Oh, it's her.
Yeah,
that's a great name.
If it was a guy, the Turning Point USA would have a lot more problems for kicking.
I can't believe you haven't heard about this story. It made national news.
Like, no, I didn't.
Randy Love is just such a great name. It's unbelievable. It's just
Brandy.
Randy would be better.
Yeah.
This was a huge thing. She writes for the Federalist, as weird as that sounds. And they kicked her out of this convention because they said she was a bad influence on the teenagers.
I wonder how Meghan McCain dealt with that peaceful, loving, conservative woman. But on that note, welcome back to The World According to Ben Stein. But I want to get to something really that's always bothered me. I always wanted to start a plan called Instead Ben Stein of Doctors Without Borders. Like if you believe so heavily in the plight of the if you believe so heavily in women's rights, go to Iran and fight for them. It takes.
Well, they would never do that. They're afraid.
They're terrified. Right. It's so easy in this great country to rag on everything, but go to where the actual problems are, and you will never see those protesters, Ben Stein.
Never.
Which gets me to this. So I was, and I thank Tommy for sending me the list as we were going through the show. But the BDS movement, for people that are not familiar, they want to sanction the state of Israel. So basically, though, but they have zero follow through. And here's the reason I'm going to say they have zero follow through. I'm going to name a few things that Israel has created that the world can't live without. They've created the world's first drip immigration system. They've created
drip. What is drip?
Irrigation system. So basically, you could create water out of air. The pill cam to go down your the pill camera. You could. They've also the Intel chip, USB drives, Waze, and of course the firewall on the computer. And that's how Israel knows how to break other firewalls. And if you have an iPhone, the iPhone 4G chipset. But also, most importantly, they've created the USB port on all computers. So if you truly believe, Ben Stein, in boycotting and divesting and sanctioning Israel, Waze is Google Maps, by the way. Get rid of this stuff. Otherwise, you're a fraud.
Why would anyone in his right mind or her right mind want to hurt a country that has contributed so much good to the world and which in every respect is continuing to create good for the world? I keep thinking of this, and this is a very, very, very sad thought, but I'm afraid it's true. 6 million Jews murdered by the Nazis and their friends, and believe me, they had plenty of friends and plenty, lots. And what if those 6 million had lived and moved to Israel and become part of the scientific brains trust of this astonishing small country? What innovations, inventions, and life-saving would we have?
No, I mean, you raise an exceptional point, but Rob, it's so easy to rag on our country while you're here. It's so easy to boycott or to do certain things or march and loot and riot. But when it really counts, are people willing to give up the stuff that Israel's invented and created? Are you willing to give up your whole computer? Are you willing to get up the fact, give up the fact that we all almost all use Waze? I know Gary doesn't, but most of us use Waze. Where, show me, I want to see your fortitude. I want to see some little, yeah.
But most people have no idea that they've done all that stuff. Most people are not educated in the slightest about what Israel is, what it represents, how it was founded, how they've gotten to where they're at. They have no clue whatsoever because, of course, it's not taught in public education. Judy, you mentioned one invention that is so amazing. And I just wonder for the audience at home, because I think it's so important and it's helped people of all colors, all creeds, all sexes, all everything. It's saved many, many, many lives. The pill camera. Can you talk about that for a second? Because that is such an important invention and it never gets talked about. I mean, think about how many lives of Muslims or atheists or whatever it's saved over the years.
Well, why don't you talk about it? Tell people what it is.
Well, no. I think it's the camera that goes inside of you, right?
Yes.
When they do a surgery or whatever, I mean, if you've had a loved one that's had a surgery of a variety of sorts, that camera has made surgery so much better and so much more efficient that, you know, and I've never once ever heard of it. Well, that's an Israeli invention. It is. And I knew that, but the average person doesn't. But the point is that technology has been given to the entire world. We just said this is going to save lives of Jews or Christians or the United States or Israelis. I mean, Israel is one of the greatest, most giving, most blessed nations on earth in the history of earth. And obviously that is for a reason. And I just thought that was interesting that you mentioned that, because more selfish nations, more ideological nations wouldn't have shared that technology with the world.
And Israel does this because it is in their nature to invent things and to create things. And they're very, very big in life-saving things. They always have. Jews have been doctors for a very, very long time. And it's just incredible how the jealousy and anger that people feel towards them. And let's back up a little tiny bit to a very frequent subject on this show, Black Lives Matter. One of the most explicitly, violently anti-Israel organizations in America, they get contributions from lots of Jews, contributions from all kinds of liberals and leftists all over the country who think of themselves as bleeding hearts and kind, giving people. BLM, big, big, big followers of the people who want to kill Israel.
Yeah, you're completely right, Gary Collins. I mean, and maybe Rob's correct. They don't, I mean, there's a certain thing. You don't hear Israel every day bragging on national TV. We gave you Waze. We gave you the pill cam. We gave you this irrigation system. We learned how to make water out of air that helps all the other people in that region who don't have water. And I think it's time for Israel to just say, you know what, screw you. This is what we've brought you. And if you really want to boycott and divest, then because Gary, I know these people that have the drive you crazy, these boycotters, and because it's easy to boycott here. You constantly, and I've heard other people say this, but it's like with fur, right? You know, that organization Pink that would throw the paint on people's fur coats or whatever it was. You'd never see them do it at a BET award. You'd only see them do it to rich white women or rich white men, Gary. It's like, I want to see from these lazy 20-year-olds put up or shut up, Gary.
Well, it's just like socialism right now, right? Everyone thinks socialism's great who's never lived in it. I always tell people who believe in it, you know, like BLM, hey, why don't you guys all get on a jet and go move to Cuba? Or
go move, yeah, go
so
move.
Much. Take off,
absolutely, or Vietnam. I mean, Vietnam the Vietnamese are incredible people. They're smart, they're hardworking, they're clever, they're fierce fighters. But do you think you want to live there? One of the closest people to me in the whole world is my wife's manicurist. She's a Vietnamese girl, and she says that nothing in Vietnam can be gotten except by bribery. And I often say to her, that's why you fought a war in which you lost millions of people to get a country where nothing can be gotten except through bribery? That's crazy.
Yeah, and Gary, there is a good, I don't think it's, I think there should be a lottery system for people from the BLM. We pick Venezuela, Cuba, Vietnam, a few other communist places, and we spin the wheel. Where are you going?
Well, no, it's just like, how about like Mormons who do missions? Hey, they go to pretty bad places and go and help people. How about these people who believe in socialism and socialized medicine go to these countries and do their own mission? And heck, we might even come up with an extra tax to pay for all of it just to get them there. Now, coming back might be a problem because they'll probably test positive for COVID, it appears. So, you know, I mean, I don't know. To me, we're in a place where no rational thought is happening. But it's a place
very
where
little,
love
very
to
little.
Run their mouth and talk a lot of shit and don't back anything up. That's why I did that podcast. Why don't we practice what we preach anymore? Because I love all these people. I go, hey, if you love your attitude and what you're preaching so much, get your ass out and go do it. And they're like, oh no, not me. Oh, not me. I'm just the messenger. I'm too privileged to actually go do it. And it's amazing to me. Yeah. No, trust me.
Well, it's an amazing thing to me. I mean, I as I always remind everyone on this panel, I'm by far the oldest of all the people on the panel. I've seen the world for quite a long time now. I've never seen any streams of Americans wanting to go to East Germany or Poland, or was under the communists, or Czechoslovakia, now two separate countries under the communists, Yugoslavia was under the communists. Nobody wants to go to those countries. Only American privileged idiots want to brag about those countries. Nobody wants to go there.
And Rob, he raises a good point. You have these Cubans in front of the White House just screaming at the White House. And I love this Gloria Estefan, who's come out and begged Joe Biden to help Cuba, who voted for Joe Biden. You didn't see this coming, Gloria Estefan, you and the Miami Music Sound Machine. It's like, you know what? You lost when you voted for Joe Biden. You lost all moral say-so, Rob. I mean, that's just my humble opinion, Rob Gendel.
Well, yeah, I'll answer that in a second. To go back to the first point, though, you see this all the time. None of these AOC, the squad, they're not taking in these illegal immigrants that are coming across the border. You see this all the time, in which these people preach, oh, we as a society should do A, B, and C, and they never do it, of course. So that on that, that's a long-running theme.
Well, wait, this is, I think, unless I have been misled by what I've read, that the lovely women who founded Black Lives Matter have taken in tens of millions of bucks, mostly from white liberals.
Yeah, but not tens of millions of people.
Not one penny of it has gone to defend the legal cases of Black people accused of crimes and of being beaten and who have been beaten supposedly by the police. Not a penny. Instead, these women live in big, huge mansions that even very wealthy people generally cannot afford. And that's where that money has gone. Nobody ever talks about that.
Gary, I see you wanting to jump in, or?
No, I 100% agree with Ben. It's I won't say what's been going on because we'll get banned today about numbers, but of certain people testing positive for certain things, right? Who were, you know, practice what you preach. They didn't practice any of it. And guess what happened? Interesting. But yeah, no, it's like I said, I just, every day I wake up, I just wonder if I've bumped my head and have a massive concussion because nothing makes sense.
I mean, Ben, you wake up that quite often, and so do I
wake up that way all the time, but usually it's because of my own mistakes. I mean, of all the problems that Ben Stein has in his life, 99.99% of them were caused by Ben Stein. At least that many, maybe more. But when I do see some of the other problems, they weren't caused by me. And I have to say, in terms of making these idiotic mistakes, I did them too. When I was at Yale Law School, living a life of unimaginable privilege, just unimaginable privilege, unimaginable, incredible. We were out in the streets demonstrating for the Black Panther Party all the time. What did it turn out? That they were a bunch of murderers and drug dealers. Well, how are we to know? I mean, just because the police said they were, how are we to believe the pig police? Turned out it was true.
And on that note, if you just tuned in, you are listening to The World According to That Man, Benjamin Jeremy Stein. I am reading your chats in the chat room. I want to thank everybody for tuning in and remind everybody, please still download that podcast wherever podcasts are available. It means a lot to us. Give us that 5-star review if you don't mind. And remember, benstein.substack.com. You could also find them on Parler and Getter. And of course, joining us tonight from 93.1, bam, WIBC is Rob Kendall. And of course, from the SimpleLifeNow.com founder, Gary Collins, which Gary brought up what is going to be the next topic. So here's my question. And I was talking to you on the phone about this today, Ben, too. So the vaccines supposedly have a 96%, 95 to 96% efficiency rate.
I think it's called effectiveness.
Effective, yeah. So, right. So that would lead you to believe that out of 100 people, four people might get it, right?
Possibly.
I'm just making sure you're being the mathematician that my numbers are correct. So you have a plane load of morons that flee the state of Texas, so they don't have to vote in a quorum. And at least we know every one of them was vaccinated, Ben Stein, and at least over 10% of them have caught COVID, and not just over 10% of them have caught COVID. They spread it to people in the White House. So I think
it's more than 10%.
That was according to Fox News. I'm just going by what they said. Let's just say I thought it was about 20% too.
I think so too.
So let's say it's about 20%. Including people in the White House getting it. I'm failing to see the statistics align on this, where 96% of people are safe once they've had the vaccine, Ben Stein, and 20% of the people. I mean, please help me with these numbers.
I don't understand them myself. Something is definitely wrong with the numbers that are being reported by the Texas Democrats or I hate to say this, with the vaccine. I have a very good friend who's refusing to get the vaccine, and I don't know what to think. I really don't know what to think. I hope and pray that this vaccine really is effective and that we haven't been sold a bill of goods about this. If the vaccine is not effective, then we have been sold as the biggest bunch of fraud that since the allegation claim that Kamala Harris was African-American. That was the fraud, and I think this is it going to turn out that COVID vaccine is a fraud? I'm not sure.
I just want to get to Ben one more quickly, because you, again, mathematically and statistically,
it can't happen.
What happened? I just wanted to make sure.
It could happen, but it would be extremely unlikely. I mean, 100 people is not a big enough sample to say for sure what the results should be, but it is a big enough sample to say what they're very much likely to be.
Yeah, but Judy, you've seen it all sorts of high profile cases. The College World Series, North Carolina State gets the boot. They don't get to finish. Four of their vaccinated guys test positive. Chris Paul, who's playing in the NBA Finals, had to miss part of the Western Conference Finals because he did, I believe, tested positive. He was vaccinated. Bubba Watson, the golfer, wasn't allowed to go to the British Open because he'd been in close contact with somebody who tested positive, even though he tested negative and had been vaccinated. So what the hell is going on here? If this thing works, why are we still treating everyone like it doesn't? And why are we seeing so many high-profile cases where it doesn't work?
This is very discouraging. Very, very, very discouraging. And I think Dr. Fauci should be put on trial.
He is on trial right now. And in case you missed it today, Rand Paul eviscerated him. Once again, Dr. Rand Paul, basically said, you're a stone-cold liar. You said under oath this didn't come from a lab. And even today, he still said they kept on using, Gary, the technical terms, like it wasn't used to grow viruses, or that's not what we paid for. But I want to, and I'll get to that in a second, because I wanted to bring that up. But Gary,
welcome to Washington, D.C. Remember, I was a federal agent. I had to deal with codes and laws every day. They're all written by attorneys. It's completely ambiguous. They play word games. And then when they get caught, they're always written in a way. And I always used to say it's a gray area. So if you want it to go this way, it will go this way. If you want it to go that way, it will go that way. They always do that. They play the word game, but there's only three things this can technically really mean. Either the vaccine is not effective, they lied that they were vaccinated, or the testing for COVID is flawed. Those are only three things that can come out of that, or all three together. That's it. Those are the only conclusions you can come to.
Or they don't really have COVID. There's also a theory on that.
That would be the testing, go to his question about the testing.
Yeah. Which we know it tests that they use, the PCR test, was never intended to be used for COVID. For any, that's the guy who invented it said it's complete utter bullshit the way they do it. It's not intended for that. It doesn't work for that. And then they changed the parts per billion of how they do it to where almost anyone can test positive for COVID, because they have, it's such a small piece that will light that test off. I don't even know what to think, but.
And somebody's right, by the way. So I just want to say something, because somebody wrote in the chat, it's a therapeutic and it's not a vaccine, Ben Stein, and it's this and it's that. I don't know. And that's the problem. We haven't been told shit.
Well, wait a second. I give full honor and gratitude to this gentleman or woman who's in the vaccine. No, sorry, who's in the chat. I beg your pardon.
No, a lot of people say it's not it's not like the flu vaccine.
Then what the hell is it?
Gary, I know you have more experience
It's not, because it's actually the way it's transported. It's transported through mRNA, which is a different transport system. So this is the first time that they've actually put together a vaccine using this type of transport system. It's totally different. That's why it's experimental, 100% experimental. It has not been certified by the FDA. Yeah, that's what I mean. That's what they said. That's why the drug companies made sure that it was labeled experimental, because you cannot sue a pharmaceutical company for an experimental vaccination that you willingly take.
Well, then in that case, we should be arresting Dr. Fauci and putting him in prison right away.
Hey, 100%. Rob. Yeah.
Well, if you, I think we talked about this before. If you read the fine print, if you actually read the stuff they give you when you get the vaccine, they tell you on the fine print, we have no idea if this is going to work. We have no idea what your reaction to it's going to be, and you're taking all your own risk because we don't know. Good luck. Have fun.
So, you all raise great points, but Ben, I want to think, we have a hearing coming up on nothing, about January 6th, a hearing on nothing. We have a commission on nothing. The commission should be, what was her name, Rob? Molly Tibbett, the woman that was killed.
Ashley Babbitt.
Ashley Babbitt. Molly Tibbett is somebody else. Ashley Babbitt. But Ben Stein, I've brought this up. Where's the commission on this?
Wait a second. Let's go back to January 6th. One of the biggest lies the media has been able to pull off is that this was anything close to an insurrection. This is a bunch of goofballs basically wanting a tour of the capital of the United States of America. No one was attempting to seize power. No one was shooting anyone except for the guards. The idea that this was some kind of revolt and some kind of attempted seizure of power by the right wing is just total nonsense. It breaks my heart that people believe such a thing, but there's no evidence of it at all. But the vaccine, that's a real problem. I mean, tens of millions, I think over 100 million Americans have gotten this vaccine. Does it really not work? Then what about the masks? Do they not work too? Are we all just crazy? I mean,
I believe so. And I was talking with my mother about this. I don't know if they're talking with a lot of people.
Well, then if your mother says it, then that's right.
No, my mother didn't say it. And I've been talking to my mother about this. I've been talking to a lot of people about this, about the mask. That we believe the masks work because they tell us the masks work. But there's never been one scientific data that said these masks. Because if this thing is so damn contagious, what makes you think a tiny little blue mask that is given at the store, Rob, is going to prevent people from getting?
Well, Fauci admitted in the emails, the mask doesn't work. And this is Jerome Adams, who was a surgeon general. He's from Indiana. He was the state health commissioner before Trump picked him. And, you know, he's on Twitter all the time now, still pushing this stuff. And I know Jerome. I used to hang out with him. He's a very nice guy. But he's just wrong on this. And it's like Jerome Adams, Fauci, many other people before the mask got politicized said what they thought, which is don't wear a mask because it doesn't work.
And it works to make you feel nauseated, have headaches, to feel your skin to break out in terrible hives. It works to make you feel
and
terrible.
It works to virtue signal.
Exactly.
And I want to say one of the questions I answered this, just so you know, on a date, one of the dating apps, they said, what bothers you or something? I can't remember. And I said, people who wear picture masks in their dating apps. I thought I was very, I thought it was very funny. I haven't got a lot of responses. Gary, we don't know anything, and that's the bottom line. And I think that's why Rand Paul keeps on going ballistic and berserk during all these hearings, is because he's actually a doctor.
Well, I'm glad someone is, because Fauci is an empty suit lying douchebag. I mean, like I said, I worked with these guys. They're terrible people. They're clueless. They don't know what's going on. They're bureaucrats that have been there forever. They're buddy buddies. They can't get fired, they think. And it's a game, but I'll give you a perfect example as a dumb redneck. I go out and I cut wood.
I not dumb, you're simple.
I'm just a dumb redneck. But I wear an N95 mask. I wear them. I have a whole bunch of them. I had a bunch of them before COVID ever broke out, because when I go cut wood and I use my saw, kicks dust and everything all over, you're breathing it for hours. I'll tell you right now, I breathe in a lot of sawdust anyway. With the N95 mask on, you will see a whole cloud and in my nostrils everywhere. If it's getting in, those little microscopic little spit beads are coming out. I'll guarantee it. And they proved, they've shown guys who did a doctor put one on in the below freezing, and you could see all the mist just fly out of the mask every which direction. He put on two masks, same thing. He put on three masks, same thing. Does it help if you're standing close to each other and further away? Yeah, it slows it down, but we're getting all wound up over the flu. But the flu is lethal. Every version of the flu is lethal to someone, to some group. Every strain is. I don't know what's going on. We've lost our mind again.
Gary makes a great point, though, because you see all these tests where people will, they'll put the throw things, test with a mask, without a mask, and it'll show the amount of stuff that grows if you don't have a mask. And they say, oh, look at all this. And that's true. It's probably like with Gary cutting wood, it probably does prevent a lot of stuff from getting in there, but there's still a ton that gets in there. And when you're talking about little itty bitty tiny particles that cause this, it's a joke to think you're going to prevent it by wearing a mask.
We've been saying this over and over and over again. A virus particle sufficient to cause an infection, it can barely be seen with an electron microscope. And you're going to tell me that a piece of cotton and paper that costs almost nothing are going to stop it? Give me a break.
And by the way, Gary, Ben and I have the same thing. We both cut a lot of wood, and we have to wear those masks quite often.
I see the pictures.
We're choppers. Yeah, Ben actually used to chop wood. He's got a bunch of wood at his house in Malibu. He was a wood chopper, so I will credit Ben with that. But again, Ben Stein, have you ever seen? Okay, so we were told for 4 years that we lived in mass chaos, right? That was the narrative, when actually we lived in relative calm. We had unemployment under control. Every metric of everybody was doing better. And so we were told chaotic without chaos. Now we're told there's calm, but there's absolute chaos, Ben Stein.
There's absolute chaos and absolute dishonesty. And what I would like to know, if among many, many things I'd like to know is, why, let's back up. Okay, the goal is the survival of human beings. We want human beings to survive. Fine. Then why is the governing party of this country so fervently pro-abortion and anti-life? If you really want to save lives, the fastest, easiest way to save lives would be to make abortion illegal. That would be just a no-brainer. That's so obvious. If you really want to save lives, just make it very, very difficult to have abortions and kill your own children. That's incredibly simple. I mean, yes, controversial, to be sure. Yes, steps on a lot of toes, to be sure. Yes, angers a great many women's rights groups. But it's true. If that's why you want to save, what you want to do, save lives, that's the fast, easy way to do it. We've got to get our priorities straight in this country. Similarly, Black Lives Matter. Do we really want to save Black lives? Yes, I do, anyway. Let's have more police on the street, not fewer. Let's have more police on the street. Let's take the Giuliani approach and have more police and have the police stop and frisk. Saves a lot of Black lives. Let's be simple about this and go to first causes.
You raise a great point, and I actually did look at this the other day because of the crazy amount of mass shootings going on in Chicago. Crazy. And I sort of said to somebody, how are there still people left, Rob Kendall? Yeah. But they have 32,000 cameras in pods, or what they're called, in that city. The only city that beats them per capita, I want to say, is
London.
In America. And I can't remember what it was off my head. Maybe it was Baltimore. It was somewhere else, but there are 32,000 cameras. And the problem, like Ben brings up, is policing. It's great that you have people on photo or video, or you're watching people do this. I mean, that's a really morbid thought when you think about that, Rob Kendall. You have 32,000 cameras. At any moment, you could be watching 50 people getting shot.
Yeah, but you know what? Indianapolis has more murders per capita than Chicago does, and crime is completely out of control in our city. The mayor here, Hogsett, is a total radical lunatic leftist. He's completely given over the city to the criminals. He hates the cops. He's done everything he can to possibly condemn at any turn the police. He gave the city away last summer to the rioters, completely destroyed the city. One mayor in a couple of years has destroyed what it took 40 years to turn Indianapolis from India no place to one of the shining examples in cities that was held up as a beacon of just incredible. You look at what Indianapolis had done from conventions and certainly sporting events, the NCAA, the Super Bowl, all these things that took generations to build, and this guy gave it away. And that's what it is. These big city radical leftist mayors who hate the cops, who are invested in chaos, and they are just fine with what's happening. And Lori Lightfoot is much the same thing.
Gary, Ben actually brought up a brilliant point, and which he always does. But the brilliant point being is, there's no consistency. A person on the left or any of these idiots could wake up any day and go, this is science, yay today, science, no today. Math, yay today, math, no today. Gary, it doesn't matter on the day, it goes with the wind. As Ben brought up, and I thought that was really a perfect point. They're trying to save lives, yet they're trying to kill lives. And which one is it, God? Which one is it?
Again, practice what you preach. Hey, if you love your city so much and you hate the cops so much, go live in the hood. Go set up camp without your security detail and go hang out with your people. Let's see how it goes. I bet you last 5 minutes before your shoes, shirt, and you got a nice little smile right about here on you.
Wasn't there a mayor of Chicago once who went and lived in the high rise for a very short period of time?
It's got to be Daley, because they were mayors there for 50 years.
I think it was the guy whose brother is a super successful
Rahm Emanuel.
No. This was in this was a female mayor. It was after old man Daley, but before the son. She went and lived in Caprini Green.
Yeah, Caprini Green,
which is no longer exists.
Right. She went and lived to try to, you know, show I'm one of the people. And I think she made it like 2 days. They had her like bolted in her room.
She
there.
Lasted that long.
She tapped out. Sirens were on the top of Cabrini Green.
I would like to know who in this world of statisticians, scientists, social scientists has done any kind of study providing us with data about why it is. What are the correlating factors that give these cities such incredibly high violence rates? Is there anything we can point to that it consistently appears in these cities?
Oh, yeah. Well, Indianapolis is a great example. And the Fraternal Order of Police right now is fighting over this, which is, look, the bail system is a joke. This idea that for, you know, you can be accused of murder and for basically $500 be back out in the street almost the same day. I mean, we saw the report of the one rapper who had allegedly killed the two people. He makes bail and is literally shot on his way to the car getting out on bail. The system is a complete joke, letting these very violent people back on the street almost instantaneously.
But is there any other factors you think might be
involved? No. But what Ben was talking about was Gary Collins was more the parenting,
Gary. That's part of it. But here's a bigger part as a guy who lives rural in small towns and grew up in a small town. If you act the fool in a small town, everyone knows about it. If you're banging houses and ripping people off, there's a good chance you're going to get shot on the second one. You're not going to get very far. So in big cities, you can be more anonymous. And I think the culture kind of allows that attitude because you don't know your neighbor. I know my neighbor. I know exactly who my neighbor is. If he's standing in my yard with something I own in his hand, it's not going to go well.
Well, sir, with all due gentlemen.
Yeah,
I mean, is it not incredibly obvious, so obvious that it's comical, that it's closely connected with the ethnicity of the city? Ooh. I mean, that's comically obvious. Am I the only person in America who will say this? I mean, I guess I'm destined to get destined to live in abject poverty for the rest of my life. But I mean, clearly, it is very closely connected to the number of non-white people in a city. That does not have to be true. But it is true. It doesn't have to be true, but it is true.
98% of crimes committed against black people are committed by black people. Right. No one ever wants to talk about that. It's black on black crime that is the travesty. It's not, people like to extrapolate it out into, you know, little niches. But when you boil it down, the ethnicity factor, black people are percentageally are far more violent against each other than any other ethnic group.
And against every other group. Look, I had the incredible privilege many years ago, probably before anybody on this panel,
of writing for Jesse Jackson.
Jesse Jackson used to say, when I am walking down the street in a city and I hear footsteps behind me, I want to turn around and see white people, not black people. Jesse Jackson said that. I didn't say that. Jesse Jackson said that. I'd like to know how can it be that our political class simply ignores that?
Well, you raise a great question, obviously. And I didn't understand actually what you were asking when you made that statement. I thought you were asking for the why. I didn't think you were talking about the who. But Rob, he raised a great point. In Indianapolis, what are the statistics? I'm actually curious.
Overwhelmingly, and again, they're on another record pace for record homicides. They're going to blow it out of the water this year. But overwhelmingly, the crime is African-American on African-American.
And this is America's great crusade that we must have, is to save these poor black people. I mean, these poor black people are people. They have hearts and lungs and brains, eyes and ears. They have families, they have children. But they live, it's like they live in a whole different violent country from people like me. We have somehow got to improve their lives. And I think the first step is to say the truth about it.
Now, Rob, he's completely correct, because it's like, if as any objective person, it's really hard to watch what goes on in your state now. And to watch what goes on in Chicago every weekend and Baltimore every weekend as a person, and that's the thing. They say they care and they don't. We say we care and we actually do.
Let's see Black Lives Matter go there. Let's see these three incredibly rich women who founded Black Lives Matter. Let's see them go to Baltimore and set up some kind of mission to save these people from themselves.
But here's the thing. So like in Indianapolis, before the Democrat mayor we have now, we had a Republican, and he worked really well with the faith-based groups, the local organizations, and he emboldened them to kind of police the streets, and they did a phenomenal job. And what happened was, you're going to be well over 200 homicides under this mayor again. They were down about 100, down to about 100 under the Republican mayor. These faith-based groups like the 10-Point Coalition, which is largely made up of African-Americans who policed these streets, who empowered former gangsters, et cetera, to speak to these people, to let them know that they were keeping an eye on them. They have now been iced out because they played nice with the Republican mayor. They didn't do it because they're Republicans. They did it because they wanted to save the city. And these Democrats are politicized everything and will not put these groups in power who have a track record of success because they previously played nice with the Republican.
Gary.
The blacks could save the blacks. They could. They can. Let's encourage them to do it.
Now, but and Gary, what he's saying is really heartbreaking, because it's you're watching people of all ages in these communities just being slaughtered, and it doesn't get the news.
Well, that's the thing, is it is actually a criminal activity by these mayors and these politicians defunding the police. Because what it does is, those people who need the help the most are the ones who are going to be impacted. Those neighborhoods, it is predator on prey. And once they pull those cops out, there's no defense system left any all. You're seeing innocent kids getting shot every single day in this country, in these, I'll say it, shitholes of America.
And what and who pushed this nonsense narrative down America's throat? The media said, oh, it's the white cops massacring the black people. That was a total lie. It always was a total lie. Now it has wrecked and taken away the life of hundreds, thousands of black people. What is the matter with us that we can't realize when a lie is a lie?
And here's the, you know, I don't know where this was. It's Chicago, actually. They want, when somebody calls up, and I kid you not, for a drug offense, they're instead doing this with the paramedic. And God bless my brother-in-law, who's a lieutenant in the fire department in New York, who's amazing at his job, but he's not qualified to go with a drug counselor to a drug scene, nor would I want him going to the scene of it. I want a police officer with my brother-in-law as he's going to a scene of, we don't know what's going on. So now we're going to have a mental health specialist and a paramedic at the scene of a drug offense or an overdose, a suicide. And we don't know the full, it's just like every time a cop pulls somebody over, they don't know if that person's going to get, if is going to kill them, Rob.
Well, again,
it's horrifying.
Well, and then that's the thing. The cops have been painted as the bad guys in this. Police officers, by and large, are heroes. They have a skill set that very few other people walking the planet have, in terms of the ability not only to use force when absolutely necessary, but negotiate, to use discretion, to try to peacefully resolve situations. There are few professions that have the skill set and diversity of a law enforcement officer.
What say you, the former law enforcement, Gary?
Yeah, it's that's the thing, is law enforcement is an incredibly difficult job to do. And when you analyze the contacts that every police officer in a day has with citizens, and you extrapolate the data out, the odds of you getting shot as an unarmed black person, I think there was 8 in 2020, I think that, and see, there's always circumstances that they don't add in there. They just say unarmed. Well, you're all, by a white officer on a black individual. But the problem is, they don't say, did they make a reflexive action looking like they were reaching for a gun? Were they reaching for a weapon that was unseen when they were shot? There's all these circumstances when you extrapolate it out. The possibility of you being shot as a black person by a white cop are almost percentageally zero.
If you don't do anything threatening, if you just keep your hands on the steering wheel and answer questions, you're all set.
But what is the, I want to get to one thing as we're closing, because this show has one theme tonight, and it's all chaos from the left. It's all their chaotic. Yes.
That's part of it. Come on, Judah. That's part of it.
No. What I'm saying is
ethnicity.
No, what I'm saying is that all you brought up the media. right? That the media has done this to this community.
It has done this to this community, but this community had plenty to do with doing it to itself.
No, you're completely right. I'm not taking away the blame, but what I'm saying is basically everything we see, they're saying we're not seeing. You know,
they're saying, that's right. They're making up a phony, false narrative and saying this is what's going on and this is what's wrong with America.
And on that note,
it's nonsense.
Yeah, on that note, I want to thank everybody for tuning into this show tonight. We will be back Thursday night. I want to thank everybody that's been in the chat. Remember, benstein.substat.com. You could also find them at spectator.org, Parler at Ben Stein, Getter at Ben Stein. I just want to thank everybody that's been downloading the podcast. It means the world to us. Gary's podcast is amazing too. SimpleLifeNow.com, where he teaches you how to live off the grid, how to live your best life. I beg of you, really go to his page. It's fantastic. He truly practices what he preaches. And of course, seen every day on Mock and Rob from 9 to noon. You could stream him every day. Rob Kendall from the Mock and Rob Show, the number one show in all of Indiana. Right, Rob?
That's right. We're the best around. Nothing's going to keep us down.
Thank you for the Karate Kid. And again, I want to thank everybody. And Ben Stein, if you would be so kind as to take us out.
First of all, I don't really live off dividends, but that was something else. You've got to win a little, lose a little, and always have those blues a little. That's the story of, that's the glory of love.